Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles. And every Wednesday night, we talk about issues relating to our mental health from a very holistic perspective, which is the way I work and try to live my life, which means the implications of body, mind, and spirit. In order to strive for health and balance on all levels of our lives, the importance of focusing on how the body interacts with our spiritual and psychological and emotional, and how the emotional impacts our spiritual, and how the spiritual, if it's in balance or not in balance, how it impacts our living, our thinking, our sense of self. All of it needing to find a place where we're conscious of what our body's doing, what our mind's doing, where our soul, where our sense of spirit is functioning or not. And to find all of that, to create a space where all that is in balance, is the goal to me in therapy and healing and living. It's all one and the same. And this is a live call-in show, and I'm not having a guest on tonight. So I'm hoping that some of you listening will pick up the phone and call 877-900-5369, 877-900-5369. That's the toll-free line from anywhere you might be listening in the U.S. If you're local in Phoenix, it's 602-277-5369. Tonight's topic is actually one that I did back in January, which was interesting when I looked at the date that I did it. My birthday is on January 14th, and on January 16th, the show's topic was depression. I hadn't realized it at the time, but looking back on it, well, maybe it was a subconscious topic, although I didn't think that my birthday would bring on anything like that. But, you know, depression sometimes is something that comes on subconsciously. It could be a subtle or mild experience as opposed to a very deep clinical experience. And tonight we're going to talk about the difference between a clinical depression versus a situational depression. And I believe there's a very big difference, even though they could feel very similar in the moment. There was an article in the LA Times back in January called "Study Details Steep Rise in Depression Therapy." Americans being treated soared by 4.6 million over 10 years, researchers say. The study found that the share of patients who used antidepressant medication climbed from 37% to nearly 75%. At the same time, the proportion who received psychotherapy declined from 71% to 60%. It's part of the reason I'm doing this show. I mean, obviously, as a psychotherapist and a very holistic one, medications are not, have not in the past always been my first line of defense, although there are some therapists that will go to assessing and getting people on medications very quickly. I think when I was diagnosed with my own attention deficit disorder only 7 years ago, after doing so much metaphysical and holistic and psychotherapy and everything else, the medication was the missing piece of the puzzle for me. The diagnosis, of course, was the missing piece of the puzzle for all the work I'd been doing all those years, but the medication actually helped me access all of the wonderful things that I had been working on and healing and clearing all those years, but for some reason the brain chemistry, unbeknownst to me, was blocking me from putting all of it to use in any consistent way. So it kind of opened my mind up to the fact that there is a time and place for medications. And, of course, there's always the possibility of more holistic approach in terms of herbs or homeopathy and lots of other things. But when you look at a statistic like this in terms of the climb in use of medications and the decrease in use of psychotherapy for the same issue, I think it's sad that people think that just popping the pill is going to make all the difference, when it's the same thing with the ADD and taking, whether it's Ritalin or Adderall or whatever it is. Once there's a sense of connectedness and balance again, or maybe for the first time for some people, there's years and a lifetime worth of frustration and feeling disassociated and disconnected to life. So many things that the medications will allow you to start dealing with, but don't underestimate the impact that years of not feeling completely whole can do in terms of your self-esteem, in terms of the repressed emotions, the unexpressed emotions, the unidentified emotions. Not to mention the problems with relationship and intimacy that those very things that I just mentioned create. So my purpose in talking about this again tonight, number one, is depression is always a topic that people can relate to. I know very few people that haven't experienced depression at some point in their life. Like I said, for some people it's been chronic and over time, whether they've known it or not. For some people they just become so adjusted and acclimated to it that they don't realize that it's there until maybe somebody points out that undercurrent. And it may be a subtle thing, if not deep. For some people, it's a repetition of patterns and just not being able to function in the world, and it's much more extreme and much more easy to diagnose. For other people, it's a situation. It may be the loss of a loved one. It may be the end of a relationship. It may be the loss of a job that becomes a situational type of depression that may be all it is, and it will pass in the normal period of grieving for most people, but for some people that more intense situation puts them deeper into something that they hadn't realized that they had been in more consistently, so that the situation that's creating the upset and the depression help them realize and understand that they're in a deeper place of depression, which they've been in most of their lives. I have a client that I've been working with for a while now who's, I think, in this particular, this last category. He lost his father about a year and a half ago, which really brought on some major grieving. But it was a particularly difficult time, and in the course of dealing with that grieving and the difficulty in that, it became evident that that the depression had been there to a great extent most of his life. Dealing with his father meant doing that grieving, but beyond that, a desire to find a real happy space, which he's never known. So I invite any of you that are listening, and all of you that are listening, to think back throughout your lifetime. Think back of moments of joy, happiness. Were they just momentary, or can you remember and connect with long periods of it, where that basically is what your childhood was about, with exceptions of sadness, you know, over reasonable situations? Or is it hard to remember long periods of happiness and contentment and relative peace and just what we might consider normal ups and downs? Think about what's going on in your life today. Are you happy? Are you even in touch with your emotions? Because some people think in terms of depression that they're crying all the time and sad all the time. And my perception of depression is that it's almost an absence of a range of emotions. And it's almost like a numbing. So that depression is not somebody who's in tears all the time. To me, it's a good sign if somebody's sad that they're crying. I mean, it's healthy and normal. But if that sadness, if something's causing that sadness and they're not able to feel it and they're repressing it, it takes depression to repress, to numb. So I found this checklist, actually, which I'll read to you. There's only about 18 things on it. See how many of these things do you relate to. I do things slowly. My future seems hopeless. It is hard for me to concentrate on reading. The pleasure and joy has gone out of my life. I have difficulty making decisions. I have lost interest in aspects of life that used to be important to me. I feel sad, blue, and unhappy. I'm agitated and keep moving around. I feel fatigued. It takes great effort for me to do simple things. I feel that I am a guilty person who deserves to be punished. I feel like a failure. I feel lifeless, more dead than alive. My sleep has been disturbed, too little, too much, or broken sleep. I spend time thinking about how I might kill myself. I feel trapped or caught. I feel depressed even when good things happen to me. Without trying to diet, I have lost or gained weight. Those are kind of like a mental checklist. And if you related to quite a number of those, then I think that you might be dealing with depression in your life. I'm not trying to diagnose this, but it certainly would be reason for you to call a therapist if you're not already seeing one and discuss these things with them and reach out for some help. So, what is depression? Well, you know, one way to describe it, like I said, is a numbness. Something that I found actually on the internet. There are things in everyone's life that are possible causes of sadness, but people who are not depressed manage to cope with these things without becoming incapacitated. As one might expect, depression can present itself as feeling sad or having the blues. However, sadness may not always be the dominant feeling of a depressed person. Depression can also be experienced as a numb or empty feeling, or perhaps no awareness of feeling at all. A depressed person may experience a noticeable loss in their ability to feel pleasure about anything. Depression is viewed by psychiatrists as an illness in which a person experiences a remarked change in their mood and in the way they view themselves and the world. Well, if that leaves you depressed, then stay tuned, and we'll talk more about it when we come back.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break. Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
Events in Serbia change constantly, and if you're Serbian, you need to be able to stay in touch. You need to be able to organize with a group that is just as concerned about Serbia as you are. That's why there's United Serbs of Arizona. United Serbs of Arizona keeps you connected with Serbia. United Serbs of Arizona is the only Serbian news and information radio program in the Southwest United States, giving you the Serbian perspective on news, culture, and religious events. You'll hear from the most influential people in the Serbian church, politics, and culture. It is the goal of United Serbs of Arizona to put together an informational service to Arizona Serbs that makes sure that you stay on top of the latest developments that matter to you. It's the only radio show with a Serbian perspective, one that announces church and local events free of charge, and one that brings you to the latest news and music. Listen to United Serbs of Arizona on KFNX 1100 AM, Sundays at 3 p.m. Serbia is important to you, and it's important to United Serbs of Arizona.
Injection molds are built to high levels of precision and must be robust enough to withstand the high pressures of the molding process. Molds are usually constructed of hardened tool steel, but may be constructed of aluminum or other softer metals under certain circumstances. Typically, a hardened steel mold will withstand 500,000 to 2 million molding cycles without appreciable wear, depending upon the material and processing condition. This informational ad has been brought to you courtesy of Advent Molded Products Incorporated, your local molding source. Call us at 1-800-473-5818 or visit our website at www.adventplastics.com. That number again, 1-800-473-5818.
Are you satisfied with the return your IRA is getting? Wish you had more freedom to choose your own investments like commercial property, private stock, or startup businesses? You can do all that and more. Tune in to Creative Ways to Maximize Your IRA every Friday at 2 p.m. and learn what you can do to optimize your IRA's growth potential. Call in and have your questions answered by Tom Anderson, President and CEO of Pensco Trust Company. Creative Ways to Maximize Your IRA, the show you can't afford to miss every Friday at 2 p.m. on Hot Talk 1100 AM KFNX.
You're listening to Arizona's Hot Talk station, offering the most unique programming, 1100 KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. Tonight, I'm talking about depression and basically the difference between what we might consider a clinical depression versus a situational depression. You know, very often, you know, when we're talking about body-mind-spirit connection, the body is constantly giving us messages. Our mind is giving us messages. And if we listen to our intuition, we're getting messages from spirit all the time. The key, to me, the whole point of therapy is to help someone develop the tools to listen. Listen to themselves as much as listening to what others are saying to them. In other words, listening to yourself means listening to your body, listening to your mind, listening to your soul. Most of your answers come from within there. Most of us don't have the skills or the training to listen that intently, but it's all learnable. So if you're talking about something like depression, your body is talking to you through the need to sleep a lot more, through what you're doing with food, eating too much or not being hungry at all. Aches and pains that we tend to focus on, illnesses that we keep creating, that are our body's way of saying, pay attention to something here. Something's off, and it may not just be physical. So many other things that the body may be saying that says, I'm depressed, I'm afraid, I'm stressful. It may be pounding anxiety. The client I was talking about a little while ago is dealing with a great deal of anxiety and, you know, the fear that this may never end. And he started antidepressants almost a month ago, and even the adjustment to the antidepressants is triggering some of the anxiety. There are side effects these medications have, and while the medications can be amazing and very helpful, the side effects sometimes are disquieting and uncomfortable. Usually they're temporary. Usually they're part of the adjustment period. But the anxiety is also part of the body saying something. So what do? You know, you try and reach out to other people. You look for support. You make sure you're seeing a therapist, or if you're on meds, that there's a good psychiatrist that you really trust and really seems to know what they're doing. The problem with antidepressants, the main problem is most of it's trial and error. You know, one antidepressant could be a miracle for one person, and a different one may be horrendous for them. And the same one that was a miracle for one person, for the other person, may not work at all for them. So dose and the meds, when it comes to that, are trial and error, which is why the psychotherapy coupled with the medication, if there is a need for medication, is so important. Learning how to get out of oneself, learning how to activate one's survival mode again. You know, what causes depression? Well, for some people, it's clearly a biochemical thing. It's really, you know, a factor of, you know, brain chemistry. For other people, it is situation. For other people, it may have been a trauma experienced as a child that just, and it may have been a physical trauma, a head trauma. There may be something very definitely triggered by the brain being injured at one point, throwing things out of whack. So there are a number of causes. The group of symptoms which doctors and therapists use to diagnose depression, which also includes the important proviso that the symptoms have manifested for more than a few weeks and that they are interfering with normal life, are the result of an alteration in brain chemistry. So, again, depression, we all feel sad for a day or two, but a depression is usually something that's gone on over time, and it doesn't matter if it's brain chemistry or situational. Depression is still depression. Numbing and shutting down is what it is. So the difference between sadness and clinical depression is that there doesn't seem to be a healing of it. There doesn't seem to be coming back out of that darkness. So very often it's about brain chemistry. And it seems to be self-limiting in most cases. After 1 to 3 years, a more normal chemistry reappears, even without medical treatment. Okay, that happens often enough. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes there is a need to attend to something much more directly. And depression can shut down the survival instinct or temporarily suppress it. Therefore, depressed suicidal thinking is not the same as the suicidal thinking of normal people who have reached a crisis point in their lives. Depressive suicides give less warning, need less time to plan, and are willing to attempt more painful immediate means, such as jumping out of a moving car. They may also fight the impulse to suicide by compromising on self-injury, cutting themselves with knives, for example, in an attempt to distract themselves from severe mental pain. So, again, you know, the most professionals realize that when someone's in the depth of depression, they're less likely to take action. It's usually that period where someone is going down into the depression or coming out of it, when they have a little bit more energy and focus and yet feel so much more of the hopelessness and stuff that the thought of ending their lives or hurting themselves in some way seems to be more of the time when we'd be concerned. But you never know when that's going to happen, and I think it's important that if we know somebody that is clearly depressed, lethargic, and, you know, it's not that necessarily they just can't get their act together. They need help. They need someone with some compassion to guide them towards some treatment. And we'll talk more about that, what to do about it, other than meds, when we come back after this break, so stay tuned.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Is it possible to let joy lead the way in your personal and professional life? What if trusting joy meant that you could do your work more efficiently and with a better attitude? Vicki Hannah Lynn, founder and president of JoyWorks, is a keynote speaker and trainer who will motivate you to tackle the toughest problems in your life and have a good time doing it. Legally blind herself, she has learned the secret of finding magic in adversity and has dedicated her life to passing on the practical life-enhancing methods she has learned to put more joy and meaning into our everyday lives. Visit her website at joyworksoregon.com. For more information, that's one word, joyworksoregon.com.
Your business can go beyond barriers to be more than it is today. Having a business without boundaries is within your grasp, so tune into Business Without Boundaries on AM 1100 KFNX. Your host, Dr. David Livingston, can help businesses move to the next level. Dr. Livingston, lecturer and consultant, will address subjects important to improving your business, as well as explore new entrepreneurial business opportunities, including opportunities in outer space commerce. You will be able to get free advice from a talented, visionary business consultant and his guests. Business Without Boundaries, only on AM 1100 KFNX.
Are you looking for answers to the questions the internet and technology pose? Then tune in to KFNX 1100 AM every Saturday at 9 AM. For Cyber on America, BJ the Cyber DJ will discuss the internet, its technologies, and its social ramifications. With each show devoted to a different and exciting internet issue, BJ the Cyber DJ explains and encourages the use and integration of the internet into your everyday life. Tune in to KFNX 1100 AM every Saturday at 9 AM for Cyber on America.
Your business has to deal with two important issues. You have to keep ahead of your customers' needs,
and you also have to be attentive to the needs of your employees.
To better understand the dynamics of the workplace, tune into The Carter Hardin Show on Tuesdays at noon. Carter Hardin will tap into the provocative current issues in the workplace that impact both employees and employers. What do you need to know as an employee? What do you need to know as a boss? Find out when you tune into The Carter Hardin Show on Tuesdays at noon on Hot Talk 1100
KFNX.
Here's your current Hot Talk 1100 KFNX weather forecast.
All right, Phoenix, good Wednesday evening. Plenty of sunshine and some clouds, breezy and dry for the valley this week, with highs around 85 degrees, midtown lows about 60. Currently around the state, we're looking at 42 in Flagstaff, 49 in Prescott, 69 in Tucson, and at 10:30, we're at 72 degrees right here at KFNX here in Phoenix.
Hot Talk 1100 KFNX, Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of North American Broadcasting Company.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and tonight's topic is depression, clinical versus situational. And it is a live call-in show, so hopefully, if you're not too depressed to dial the phone, you'll give a call. And the number is 877-900-5369. 877-900-5369 is the toll-free number in Phoenix. It's 602-277-5369. Now, I've been talking a little bit about the difference between situational depression and clinical depression. We also have to take into account that there are other things that create depression or things that look like depression. And I think it's important that people, especially when you're dealing with a more holistic approach to things, that you look at the things you eat, living situations, drug and alcohol consumption. Remember, drugs, most drugs of abuse, you know, are depressants. Alcohol is a depressant. And while part of the reason for becoming addicted may be because genetically you're predisposed, it's a way you've learned to cope because of how you grew up. But when you are taking something like alcohol, which is a depressant, it's hard to get out of that. Certain foods, food sensitivities, can create symptoms like this. To some people, sugar can trigger a lot of mood swings, particularly depression. If you work out a lot, and if you take a look at the steroids and other things that people are taking to pump themselves up more to deal with that. These are all things that are impacting their mood and helping to create depression. And again, everybody's system is different. You know, you may have a friend working out at the gym who's using certain supplements or steroids, where it doesn't seem to be bothering them at all. You try it, you think it's supposed to react the same. Well, your body may be very different. You may have a very different reaction. And it's important to stay conscious and watch and know when to stop something if you are doing something to supplement your workout. And of course, I never recommend steroids anyway. If you're going to do something like that, do it naturally. Let your body do the job that it's built to do. And if you have difficulty with keeping it there, then, you know, you need to talk to somebody. You need to understand what self-esteem issues are going into those workouts and what drives you to abuse your body with something like steroids, something that you think is enhancing you but really may be depleting you and contributing to your own sense of depression. There is also the masking of symptoms. I had a client come to me recently that actually grew up in Holland, and it was very clear to me, even in the first session, that a lot of the symptoms that he was dealing with were very ADD-like. And with my knowledge of ADD and being a therapist that might spot that easier than most because of my own diagnosis, I'm also very cautious not to jump on that so quickly, to do an assessment, to talk about it, to find out what else has been going on. And after two sessions, actually, with this particular client, it turns out that even as a child, starting at a certain age, there were problems with his eye muscles, and he needed treatment to strengthen the eye muscles, and that stopped after a while. And when he came to the U.S., he went to get diagnosed. He went for an eye checkup, and the astute doctor that was doing the checkup noticed that he was having problems with muscle control in the eyes. And I said to him that that could also be creating symptoms that are very ADD-like, the inability to focus, the attention span, the extra effort that goes into dealing with something physical like that, that, and, you know, he just figured it wasn't a problem anymore. And what happens is people accommodate those physical symptoms, and it becomes a sense of normalcy to them, instead of realizing that there's a problem that can be corrected. And I said, before we start going into all these other things and medications and other things, go back to a doctor, find out if there's still a problem there. And let's get that treated first, and let's find out what still exists after that. And you know what? He was very grateful, because it wasn't even something that had dawned on him. And he went back, and it is diagnosed, and he is going to go for some treatment, and then he'll be back to me to do the work on whatever we still find there. And there may still be ADD, there may still be that, but you know what? There may not be. So, again, even with depression, there could be other things that are going on, like I said, food, living situation, an abusive household that you're living in, really is important. And genetics. Do you come from a family that tends to have problems with depression or addictions or mood swings or manic depressive? You know, if that is clear, that that there is a brain chemistry thing in parents or grandparents, siblings or whatever, then you know that you may be predisposed to something like this, and it may help explain some of what your experience is, which will help the therapist and physician know how to focus on this a lot better. So don't underestimate all the other contributing factors that could be there when you say, I don't understand why I'm going through this. I have had a lot of clients over the years that had parents who survived the Holocaust in Europe. Don't you think that left a mark on them? And don't you think growing up in a household with survivors of something like that? I've had clients, in fact, in the last year, I had a client who was actually born in Vietnam. His father was in jail there, and somehow the family got out of Vietnam after the communists totally took over. But can you imagine growing up in a country your whole childhood where there was a constant state of fear? Think about what's going on in the Middle East today. Think about Palestinian and Jewish children who are being raised in a constant state of fear, immediate sense of loss, death all around them. Don't you think that's going to be contributing to, or has contributed to, a whole nation that's dealing with anger, depression, fear, all those situations? So somebody may be here in the U.S., but may have loved ones living in a war zone. And unfortunately, on this planet right now, there are many war zones in many different ways. It may have been religious guilt that put such a darkness over you. It may have been a house so repressed from fun and aliveness because of what a certain religion dictated, or the sense of guilt and shame, that it just reinforced a sense of repression and numbing as a way of surviving. So, you know, we're talking about spirituality, and I talk about that all the time. But religions don't always deal with spirituality in the lighter sense of the word. To me, fear is not about a healthy spirituality. To me, fear and guilt and shaming people is not about healthy spirituality. I think teaching people how to live in a state of love and healing within and forgiveness in their lives, and connecting with the joy and know that God or whatever you want to call it is about love and joy and peace, not guilt and shame and anger and fear. So, again, depression can result in environmental things that we grew up with, persistent reinforcing of our lack of worthiness, whether it's a religion telling us we're sinners all the time, or whether it is our parents who are dealing with such biochemical or behavioral things themselves that we get the message that we're unlovable, unworthy. You know, too much of that will cause anybody to clearly need to shut down, to numb, to go into a state of depression where they're not functioning, where they're functional depressed people, where they're doing actually very well and achieving great things, but that's how they're numbing also, where they don't stop, they don't know how to sit still, they don't know how to be with themselves because the inner voices are too loud and too painful. So again, depression is something that can come from many different sources, but may have different approaches in terms of treatment depending on what's going on. Medications are not always called for, but sometimes they can be a lifesaver. So what do you do about it? You find yourself depressed or a loved one's depressed. Other than medication, what do you do about it? First of all, you need to be able to identify it. Once you've identified it, reaching out for help is an important aspect of anything. So we're going to talk about suggestions about how to deal with healing your depression when we come back after this break. So thanks for listening and stay tuned, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Take immediate control of your financial future. Since 1981, Fabian Financial has been managing people's money corresponding to the belief that investors can become wealthy based solely on the growth of their individual investments. And if given enough time, combined with the proper attitude, they can become self-made millionaires. Get yourself prepared for above average growth in market uptrends and preserve your capital in future downtrends for the rest of your life. You can do this by adopting the only investment plan that has never failed, trend following. For a complete listing of their services and the Fabian philosophy, go to AskFabianRadio.com. The Fabian family believes that any investment plan being used should be easy to follow, as well as having the potential to achieve your goals with limited downside risk. To speak with a representative, call 949-852-9800. That's 949-852-9800. Or go to AskFabianRadio.com. Fabian Financial, where the investor is more important than the investment.
Get quality counseling you deserve with the experience and expertise of Joe Amico Counseling and Consultation Services. Joe is a skilled therapist and presenter with over 15 years of working with addictions, presenting at national conferences, and training professionals on alcohol, drugs, and sex addiction. As the former director of Pride Institute, Joe is nationally renowned for his work on sexual orientation and identity issues. Joe can help to improve your self-esteem and coach you towards achieving your life goals. Call to schedule an appointment with Joe or ask about Joe's workshops and presentations. Dial 602-284-2191. That's 602-284-2191. Joe Amico Counseling and Consultation Services. Counseling services you can trust.
We all know our country's experiencing rough times, but that's no reason to hate people who don't look like you. This is Mandy Moore, and I'm here to tell you that discrimination and violence against Arab and Muslim Americans is not what this country is about and will not be tolerated. If you know someone who is a victim of racial violence or has perpetrated a racially motivated crime, please call the hotline of United States Commission on Civil Rights at 1-800-552-6843. That's 1-800-552-6843.
A public service message brought to you by the Arab American Institute and the Ad Council.
Hot Talk 1100.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. And this is Stuart Altshuler. Tonight's topic has been depression. And we've talked a lot about, or I've talked about, what depression is, what might be the causes of it, the issues of medication versus non-medication. And the next question is, all right, what do we do about it? How do you get through the day? One thing which is often very difficult for most people is asking for help. Willing to tell the truth faster that you're not feeling right, something's wrong, you don't want it to go on like this forever, and you want help. So that's always the first thing, being able to say help. Identifying the patterns that you're stuck in is very important. And I know if you're really very depressed, it's hard to even motivate to do some of the things I'm going to suggest, but, you know, small steps. You know, make a list of where you're stuck. Can't get out of bed in the morning. Can't get enough sleep at night. You know, don't answer the telephone. Friends invite me out, and I always make excuses. You know, things like that. If you can write, keeping a journal is always, I think, a very good step. Whether it's morning papers, you know, morning pages that some people do, or in the evening, writing something down gets it out of the swirling and circles in your head. It gives it something concrete. It's moving it somewhere as opposed to just over and over again running it in your own mind. Music. Music can bring you further down. I remember in college whenever I get my seasonal depression, and some people do have it seasonal, I put some of my early Judy Collins stuff on the stereo, and, you know, other types of music, and even some classical music that was really dark and heavy. And friends would know, okay, Stuart's in a space. That music is coming out of his dorm room. Okay, stay away, or let's go find out what's wrong. Either way, but, you know, when you listen to every song, and every song seems to have meaning to you that gets you even more depressed, then you know something's going on. But music can also be something that brings you up and out of it, whether it's classical music, whether it's, you know, just some light, peppy music, whatever. You know the kind of music that helps, and you know the kind of music that hurts. Reading. You know, whether it is spiritual reading, self-help books, whether it is novels that will really take you on a journey. Reading can help if you have it. Taking naps sometimes can help. Sleep is actually a healer, but when the sleep becomes something where it's constant or you can't sleep at all, when it goes to those extremes, obviously that's not great. Okay, keeping busy. Doing things that are productive, whether it's house cleaning, whether it's volunteer work, and again, you know, I've talked about this a lot, volunteer work, getting out of yourself, knowing that there are other people that you can really feel like you're doing some good for. An organization, whether it's helping to clean up a park or a beachfront, whether it is delivering meals for homebound elderly people or people with cancer or AIDS that are at that point where they can't get out or can't cook for themselves, whether it's reading to the blind, whatever. Whether it's an organization that really means something to you, maybe it's a group of people that have helped you in the past, getting out of yourself and doing volunteer work, to me, is one of the greatest healers you can ever hope to find. Now, there are a lot of other things. Just, again, if you're seriously depressed, these may be difficult, but start with small steps. Getting a hug, getting touched. For some people that are isolating, they're extremely lonely. Getting a massage, whatever you can afford to do, do it. Eating your favorite meal, preparing it, or going out to a restaurant by yourself or with somebody, doesn't matter. Something that's really nurturing that little kid inside of you, where you're actually treating yourself to something that is one of your favorite things to eat. Of course, avoiding sugar, caffeine, and other things like that that might intensify things. A bubble bath, lighting candles around the bathroom and getting in and playing some music and relaxing yourself. Renting comedies, going to the movies and watching comedies, things that will kind of lift up and get your serotonin and endorphins going. And speaking of that, exercise. Even if it's going for a walk in a real pleasant area each day or as often as you can, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour's walk, it's important. You need to start moving the chemicals that really help your brain. Going for long walks, dancing, whether you're alone in the house or going out dancing or having friends over to do it, getting the oxygen moving, getting the brain chemistry activated. So stay tuned. There's a whole bunch more things I'll mention before we end, and we'll be back after these messages.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
Are you a human being or a piece of government property? If you want to learn how to live free from government regulation, if you believe that you have the right to self-determination, the right to educate your children as you see fit, the right to the fruit of your own labor, tune into the number one freedom talk show in the world, The American Sovereign, Fridays at 9 a.m., only on Hot Talk AM 1100 KFNX.
Race!
This Week Radio. Tune in Wednesday nights at 11 for all the latest in the world of motorsports. Join Todd Weiland as he gets down to the nitty-gritty, lap by lap. Race Week Radio won't be limited to the big boys. This show is dedicated to fulfilling all of your speed needs. NASCAR, kart, Formula One, even speed boating. Race Week Radio every Wednesday at 11 p.m. only on AM 1100 KFNX.
You're listening to Hot Talk, 1100 KFNX. Tune into Imus in the Morning from 5 to 9 a.m.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to our closing moments of the show on Tell the Truth Faster. Tonight's topic has been depression, and have just a few minutes here. And I appreciate those of you who have been listening on a regular basis. And I invite you to, I know somebody tried to call in just a little while ago, and since there's only a few minutes left, it was hard to get on the air at that point. But if you're listening, I invite you to go onto the website and email me and let me know what it was you wanted to ask or state. I would love to hear that from you. And I invite you to try again next week and call a little earlier in the show so that we can discuss some things on the air and get your opinions out there too. So one thing I do remind everybody that my website, tellthetruthfaster.com, now has all the previous shows that I've done since last August archived. You can go back and listen to any of them. Usually takes about 2 weeks from, like, the show I'm doing tonight. It'll probably be about a week and a half before it's up and running. But you can go back and listen. You can. There are links to the guests that I've had on, to their websites or information about them. You can email me. And even the song by Eva Cassidy, Over the Rainbow, is now on there, and you can listen to the whole 5 minutes of it. It's just a beautiful song, and her rendition is probably the best that I've heard anywhere from anyone. So to finish up with depression, treat yourself well. And I know that's hard, but when you're trying to come out of depression, it's hard to look at what needs to be done because it's so overwhelming. Everything feels so big. Break it down. Little steps. If you need to clean the house, that can really be uplifting. But if it's overwhelming to think about it, start with the bathroom. Start with just making the bed. Cleaning out the sink, something small that feels like you made some progress. Look at getting out into nature. Acknowledge yourself for the little things you've done each day instead of beating yourself up for what you didn't get accomplished because of the depression. It's very important that you break things down to size that is doable. Go out and pick some flowers or buy some flowers so that the house is looking a little better. Call a friend. And if you don't have a friend, go to some social club or something where people are hanging out. Group therapy is often really good. There are workshops out there constantly that, you know, will fill you with things and feed you with things that will help elevate your thinking and help heal your soul through this. It's just very important that you don't just rely on your doctor or therapist to know everything. You know, look and read and do your own research also. There are alternative things for it, but you know what? Some of them don't necessarily work real good for a really deep clinical depression. You know, there's things like SAMe or St. John's Wort or a homeopathic thing called serotonin, dopamine, liquescence. But again, we've read a lot of things about St. John's Wort having interactive qualities that are not good with other medications you might be on. So it's important that you know about all this stuff and don't just, again, it takes time for things like SAMe, St. John's Wort to work sometimes, but they're really good for more mild types of depression as opposed to the deeper ones, you know, the more clinical long-term things. Do your homework. Ask friends what they've done. let family and friends know what's going on. And if you have the type of family that, you know, has been part of the problem, then you create another family through the groups you might attend, through church or synagogue or mosque or whatever. You ultimately are responsible for whether this takes over your life or continues to dictate how your life is. There are people out there, whether they be therapists, whether there are hotlines that you can call in, there are ways for you to pull yourself out of this and to get help in doing so. Use them. And tune in next week, and I'm glad you listened tonight. I appreciate it. And this is Stuart Altshuler, and be back next Wednesday night.
Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, is broadcast live every week at the same time. Thank you for listening. So